Right, just go. Howdy, folks. Glad that you could join with us this morning. Right now, the COVID-19 cases are increasing here in the Valley, and we're a little troubled about what's happening with the hospital, hospitalizations and different things like that. So we're probably going to be doing it this way for quite some time unless something changes drastically in the future. So be safe, wear your masks out in public, do your social distancing, wash your hands. Don't fight against the mask thing. We want to be good citizens that show our care for others, and we inconvenience ourselves. If we think about the Good Samaritan and all that he did for the man that was laying on the side of the road, a simple inconvenience of wearing a mask out in public shouldn't be too hard for us. And so, and I say that, and I don't like wearing a mask, but be safe. We want to get through this pandemic without people getting sick in our congregation. Today we're going to continue our look into Psalm 32. Psalm 32. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, Psalm 32, we're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7 in particular this morning. But something that has been prevalent in our society for several years now is this, what comes around goes around. The old proverb that says what comes around goes around, and a lot of people talk about karma, something coming back to get you and that type of thing. And a lot of people interpret their lives by this way of thinking. Is God or is the universe or, you know, the gods, whatever people tend to believe in, are they punishing me for what is happening to me or are they rewarding me for what is happening to me? And with that thought in mind, I want us to get into this psalm today. And we've been talking about reasons for lasting happiness and joy. Reasons for lasting happiness and joy. What can bring true happiness? What can bring lasting joy and gladness? And this psalm opens up with blessed is the one. And that word blessed, we said, means oh, how happy, or oh, the bliss. All the joy that you can have. And so we'll start reading in verses 1 through 5 so that we can catch the context before we get into our passage this morning, verses 6 and 7. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, folks, true happiness is found in the Lord's forgiveness. The righteous should be glad and rejoice because they have been forgiven through repentance from sin and faith in Christ alone. That's what we looked at last week. Now, I want us to notice the different ways that the psalmist refers to repentant believers in this psalm. Of course, in verses 1 and 2, we are the happy, forgiven ones. And this forgiveness that the Lord gives us brings us into a covenant with Him. Notice verse 10, Psalm 32, verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Here, we are the ones surrounded by the Lord's steadfast love for those who trust in Him. And I've talked to you before about this word that's translated steadfast love, sometimes merciful. Loving kindness is a word that some translations use. It's a difficult word to translate because it's packed with meaning. The Hebrew word is hesed. And hesed is a merciful love directed towards a person in a pitiful state which is based on a prior covenant and therefore steadfast. Let me give that to you again. Steadfast love is a merciful love directed towards a person in a pitiful state, which is based on a prior covenant and therefore steadfast. You see, the Lord forgives those who repent of their sin and place their faith in Jesus Christ, in His substitutionary atonement for the forgiveness of their sins. And part of that forgiveness is entering into the new covenant with Christ and God placing us in Christ. And all of that leads us into verse 11, where we are called righteous. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. When God forgives us, how does God justify the ungodly? And we looked at that last week in Romans 4. Paul answers that question. It's through faith in Christ alone. But the joy we can have by having the guilt of our rebellion and disloyalty removed and taken far away, and then having all of our sins, the times when we've fallen short of our of perfection, having those covered, and the happiness of knowing that our misguided acts are no longer remembered in our account book of sin. And the last time we noted the progression, our sins and guilt are carried away and they're buried and then they're remembered no more. God doesn't keep a rap sheet against us. We are made righteous as if the sin had never occurred. And we are placed into a covenant with the Lord. His steadfast love is upon us. So we've been forgiven of our sins. And God has surrounded us with steadfast love. And He set His love upon us. Now with that in mind, let's read our text for today. Verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 32. It says, therefore, because we've been forgiven, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. You see, because we've been forgiven of our sins by the Lord of steadfast covenant love, we can experience lasting happiness and joy by relying upon the Lord. First, we rely upon the Lord through prayer. The first part of verse 6, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. That word godly means devoted to God. Devoted to God. We are His heritage. God is going to inherit us at the resurrection. So we are devoted to God. So everyone who is devoted to God, offer prayer. The righteous ones are the ones who rely upon the Lord through prayer. Godly people are devoted to God, but godly people are not necessarily perfect people. They are a people that live a life of repentance for sin and confession to the Lord. Jesus gave us a template for prayer that teaches us how to pray. We read in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15, Jesus said to His disciples, pray then like this. And He gives us a template here. This, we often refer to this as the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus is teaching us how to pray here. And so what we have is, if we memorize this, we don't want to just recite it word for word back to the Lord. He warned against that. But we do want to note it in our minds so that we have this structure of things that we can pray through. So He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Lord's pattern prayer here teaches us to begin our prayers with a focus on the Father's holy reputation, hallowed be Your name, and also His kingdom purposes. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to focus on His reputation and His purposes, not our own reputation and our own glory. We should be concerned with building the Father's kingdom, not our own. This is followed by placing our dependence upon the Father for provision. Give us our daily bread. And then Jesus encourages us to ask the Father for forgiveness while we ourselves are people who forgive others. And then finally, we are encouraged to ask the Father for protection from temptation and also from the evil one. So we are to depend upon the Lord or rely upon the Lord through prayer. That phrase, at a time when He may be found. What does that mean? And there's different views about that. Let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. I believe what this is talking about is that we need to be following the Lord. And that's one thing that we'll get into next week. But to exemplify this, have you ever been following someone in a vehicle and then maybe you get distracted or you start gawking and looking at things? And I know I particularly like birds, and I get distracted by birds, and maybe I'm not paying attention, and you kind of lose sight of the vehicle that you were supposed to be following. I think that's like the picture that is being painted here for us. And it's expressed in Isaiah 55:6 this way. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. We are to be following the Lord with our lives, but we tend to get distracted from following the Lord when we sin. So when you realize you've fallen behind the Lord's leading, then put away your sin and return to following the Lord. Don't lose sight of Him. In other words, don't linger in your sins and try to cover them. Turn from them, confess them, and get back to following the Lord. James 4, verses 7 and 8 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The righteous ones are the ones who rely upon the Lord through prayer. Because we have been forgiven of our sins by the Lord of steadfast covenant love, we can experience lasting happiness and joy by relying upon the Lord in prayer. So, the godly, let me ask you, are you devoted to God? How is your prayer life? Are you burdened down with sin that is distracting you from following the Lord? Lasting happiness and joy is found by those godly folks who depend upon the Lord in prayer. Now let's look at the second part of verse 6. It says, surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach Him. Surely in the rush of great waters, they, that is, the waters, shall not reach Him. Here we see reliance on a promise. The Lord's covenant love for us is certain and unbreakable. It cannot be broken by troubles and trials. The rush of great waters here harkens us back to the chaotic waters that covered the earth before the Lord brought forth order and dry land. Great waters also represent judgment or distress in the Scriptures. Psalm 18:6, David is celebrating being delivered from Saul and his enemies when they were chasing after David. And it says in Psalm 18:16, He sent from on high, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. Just like the dry land was drawn out of the waters, David is drawn out from his enemies. Sometimes these waters are depicting foreigners to Israel. So by way of extension, they would be enemies of God's people. In Psalm 69, which is a messianic psalm, it's in particular depicting the cross death of Christ. Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2 says this, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire there where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. Then verses 14 and 15 in that same psalm. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Psalm 144, verses 7 and 8 say this. The psalmist cries out, stretch out your hand from on high, rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. You see, adversity and persecution by the enemies of the gospel is to be expected for the Christian. In fact, Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 and 13. He says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. These times of persecution and distress are times for Christians to rely upon the Lord in prayer. Why? Because we have a great promise here in Psalm 32:6. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You see, we are protected by God from judgment. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, hey, Pastor, but what about the Christians who were martyred unjustly? What about Stephen, who was stoned to death? What about Paul, who was wrongly beaten and imprisoned? Well, that wasn't karma. That wasn't what comes around goes around. Those were not judgments by God. They were unjust actions by men. For the Christian, you see, when we find ourselves unjustly treated, we must not think that God is bringing judgment upon us. Certainly he disciplines us, but he's not judging us. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when the Christian is treated unjustly, it is not God's judgment upon them. It is simply a circumstance that the Lord is leading them through for their good and his glory. Because Romans 8:1 starts out like that, there is no condemnation. And then Romans 8:28 says, then we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Life can be tough. The Lord's enemies are many and powerful. That is why we need to rely upon the Lord in prayer. Consider Jesus. In John 16, verse 32 and 33, Jesus says this to his disciples. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet, I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. True and lasting happiness and joy is not found in our circumstances, but in a person, the Lord. Because we've been forgiven of our sins by the Lord of steadfast covenant love, we can experience lasting happiness and joy by relying on the Lord in prayer. We know that whatever circumstances we go through are not God's judgment upon us. They are circumstances he is bringing us through for our good and his glory. You see, the righteous are the ones who rely upon the Lord in prayer, knowing they will escape the final judgment because they are forgiven. And then the psalmist in verse 7, he speaks not to the congregation anymore. He now turns and speaks to the Lord. And he makes a declaration of dependence. And I hope you had a wonderful time celebrating the 4th of July. I know it was a pandemic and muted celebrations and different things like that. And maybe had to watch a fireworks show on TV or look out your window at your crazy neighbors in the street. Don't know what happened there. But here, instead of independence, the psalmist, he just calls out to God and tells him of his dependence, a declaration of dependence. He says, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Here we have a declaration of dependence and reliance, a declaration of trust in the Lord's protection. The Lord is a hiding place. The Lord is where we go to hide from our enemies. The Lord preserved me from trouble. You see, the Lord is where we go for refuge, for protection. And then it says, the Lord surrounds me with shouts of deliverance. Now we get into a congregation, and it's one of the things that I miss when we gather together is our singing to the Lord and singing of His great salvation. But the Lord brings deliverance, which is shared with the congregation, resulting in praise to the Lord. He surrounds me with shouts of deliverance. You see, the psalmist has no doubt where he is placing his trust for protection and deliverance. But now, what about you? When times are difficult, where do you place your trust? I would say this to you. We all want to say, and all probably do say, that we trust the Lord. But it's only in times of trial and tribulation where we find out where are we placing our trust. Because when we face trials and tribulations and persecutions, we are tempted to turn to some other thing besides the Lord for deliverance. In your life, it may be alcohol or drugs. Perhaps you're turning to those. Or maybe you isolate yourself in your home and coop up and watch TV and isolate yourself from the congregation and away from the Lord. For some of us, we put more trust and we seek deliverance through our government. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. I hope you understand that that verse is not talking about the United States of America. It's not talking about nations who have a majority of Christians. For Christians, it's talking about all the people drawn out of all the nations to be a part of God's nation, which He started in Abraham and blessed the other nations through His seed, through His Son, Jesus Christ, our King. Jesus is the King of God's people, Matthew 1:1. Put your trust in King Jesus, not in your government. Where are you placing your trust? Let me tell you, a big temptation, at least for me and probably for a lot of you, I put a lot of trust in myself to deliver me from trouble. I'm always tempted to try and fix my own situation without relying upon the Lord. How can I manipulate the situation that I'm in and fix it? And when we get into that mindset, we are tempted to fix our situations by sinful means, such as deception. Or perhaps we want to compromise our principles. When we are in a difficult situation and all we want is out, but the only way out is to compromise our principles, then we find out where our trust truly lies. Where do you place your trust? You see, because we have been forgiven our sins by the Lord of steadfast covenant love, we can experience lasting happiness and joy by relying on the Lord in prayer, even in difficult times. See, the righteous are the ones who rely upon the Lord, not themselves or others or other things during troublesome times. Those who experience lasting happiness and joy are the ones who have found justification through repentance and faith in Christ. That's verses 1 through 5. But then who rely upon the Lord for protection in verses 6 and 7 as they then seek to follow His direction in verses 8 and 9, which, Lord willing, we will cover next week. But it could be that you're here this morning or listening in this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're still that person who is thinking what comes around goes around, and you're wondering what God's doing in your life. And listen to me, sin brings grief, exhaustion, judgment, and sorrow. And as an unsaved person, the judgment of God will be upon you. But forgiveness can be found from the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ as the payment for your sins. Oh, won't you turn from your sins, repent of them, and turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you because of what Christ did for you. Not from any good work that you did, but what Christ did for you. If you're genuine in that, the Lord will forgive you and bring you into covenant love with Him. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't live your life wondering, trying to feel for what's going on around you and what is God doing in your life. Listen, you can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. And then you'll be a Christian. And then God will start making you into the image of His Son. And you no longer have to worry about your situation, whether it's God's judgment or not. You now know that whatever situation you're coming upon is God's desires upon your life to make you more into the image of His Son. You've been called to a life of dependence upon the Lord, Christian. You are to rely upon Him alone for deliverance. And our happiness should not be dependent upon our circumstances. That's the world's way of happiness and joy. But our circumstances are not dependent upon, our happiness is not dependent upon our circumstances. It's dependent upon a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in Philippi. And they cast a demon out of a young lady who was kind of a soothsayer, and their owners got mad, and they beat Paul and Silas, and they threw them into jail. And Paul and Silas are in jail, and they were doing the Lord's work, yet they found themselves in jail. I'm always fascinated by their reaction, because they're following the Lord, doing His will, His way. And they end up beaten and placed in prison. And when they're in prison, they prayed and they sang in Acts 16:25. They prayed and they sang. How could that be? Well, they knew they were not under God's judgment. Their situation was just circumstances that the Lord was using for their good and His glory. Oh, Christian, life can be tough. Life can be tough. Enemies can be fierce and situations can seem hopeless. But you're not under God's judgment. You actually have a resource to go to. Prayer to the Lord. You have a promised hiding place from trouble. You have a church that can surround you with shouts of deliverance as we are reminded of our ultimate salvation. You see, because we've been forgiven of our sins by the Lord of steadfast covenant love, we can experience lasting happiness and joy by relying on the Lord in prayer. True happiness is found in reliance upon the Lord in prayer. Let the redeemed of the Lord rejoice. Let's pray. Father, you are good. You are good to your people. You have provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ. You have forgiven us of our sin, our iniquity, and our transgressions. You've taken them away from us and you've buried them in the blood of Christ. And you remember them against us no more. What a God of forgiveness. And there is therefore now no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a God. So help us to rely on you. Work in our hearts to know that the situations of our life are working to mold us into the image of your Son. And that the waters of judgment will never reach us. We are safe in the ark of Christ. One day, Lord, even if it be that we are stoned to death for our beliefs, as Stephen was, we know that we will be with you. Ultimate salvation. Ultimate glorification. Oh, Father, I pray, work in our hearts to rely upon you more, to revel in your forgiveness, and to trust you in all the situations of our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name, our King. Amen.